and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Here in Philippians chapter 4, we've read through these verses, and there are a couple of verses that really stand out because they really are used, misused, abused, misapplied, misunderstood, mispreached on, and everything else. Verse 1's 13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And practically, I understand what they're saying there. But if you're looking at what he's saying, he's not saying about, these guys, they put it on their sneakers and they put it on their shirt. They even had it tattooed on their chest, tattooed on their neck, their eyelids, whatever they put it on, all these silly things. And they think that what they're doing in this world to gain power and influence and notoriety, they can do that because of God's strength. And the truth to be known, they're doing most of that in the flesh. And if there's anybody's strength besides theirs, a lot of it is the devil. Amen. God doesn't have somebody out there playing basketball tournaments on Sunday and he praising him and putting it off on the Holy Spirit like God's causing that. He expects people to be in church. Amen. But this verse is talking about Paul saying, I should be full, I should be hungry. I know how to be abound, I know how to be abased. He said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. God wasn't strengthening Paul for a fancy layup or a three-point shot or a Hail Mary pass into the end zone. God was strengthening Paul to get through trial and tribulation and turmoils in life. He was strengthening Paul when he had a time of loss and when he was going through suffering. He was strengthening Paul to get through it. When he had everything he needed, Paul was with God. Paul had it, a lack here or a lack there, and there's some things, maybe necessities that he didn't have right now, God was with Paul. Amen. God said, I've got this. And Paul said, God gives me the strength to make it through these things. Whether I've got everything I need at the time or not, I've got God's strength. That's what he's talking about. And then we get up here to verse 19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Oh yeah, they wave, my God's going to supply all your need. You're going to do it. Hey, look, this is conditional. Hey, God takes care of us. God's good to his children. But this verse is a conditional verse. What he's talking about here is he's talking about the Philippians that had been so good to give to Paul to further the ministry. And he says, look, you've taken care of my needs. He said, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus. Why does he supply our needs? He supplies our needs because we do things for others. Our salvation's not conditional on anything but going to Christ and calling on him for salvation. But the blessings in this world, I know God sometimes dumps things out on us we don't deserve. Most of the time we don't deserve anything. But I mean, the blessings in this world, a lot of them are contingent upon doing what God has called us to do. So why does it look like some people, God's just got them on the rosy path and just dumping things out on them, and other people are struggling? Well, sometimes they're struggling because the devil's attacking them. Sometimes they're struggling because they don't want to do what God's called them to do. Amen? But these verses are not what people think they are. And God does take care of us. Praise the Lord. And God will strengthen us to get through anything. But if you're praying for the arm of Roger Staubach or Joe Montana or something like that, you're going to put a tattoo on there, on your eyelid, your forehead, your chest, or wherever, your neck, and all your fingers, wherever, jailhouse, Philippians 3, 4, 3, whatever you're going to do. If you're going to do that so God will bless you in the physical realm, you're out of your mind. That's not what this is talking about. It's not what it's talking about at all. It's talking about a great deal about why we're here. This chapter 4 in the book of Philippians has a great deal to do with why he leaves us here after salvation. And the first thing I want to look at as we look at these verses again, in verse number 1, it says, "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved." I want to see, as we look down through these first 4 or 5 verses, the potential. In this first verse, he says, "So stand fast in the Lord." We have the potential to stand no matter what happens in this life. Amen? No matter what. Oh, the devil says you're not going to make it. We talked about this a little bit in Sunday school. He gets you on the ropes. He thinks, you know, you're done. And boy, I'll tell you what, if the devil can get something against you that you caused, he will run you in the dirt with it. He'll do everything he can to try to convince you to not get cleaned up with the Lord. He'll do everything he can to try to convince you that you've went one step too far this time. He'll do everything he can to convince you that everything you've done wrong in your entire life that God forgave you, this is even worse. Maybe it's not the worst thing you've ever done, but you've done it so many times that God's just tired of forgiving you. He'll do everything he can to keep you off your knees so you can't stand. But we have the potential to stand in the face of adversity. We have the potential to stand against us. Amen? We have the potential to stand. In verse 2 and 3, it says, "I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that ye be in the same mind in Christ, and I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow." We have the potential to be in unity and to have unity. What do yoke fellows do? We talked about this before. Yoke fellows, when they yoke up two oxen to a cart, that yoke is connecting them together, and they have to go the same direction. One oxen can't go this way and the other one go that way. They go the same direction. And we have the potential to be in unity. Here's our yoke. Amen? Here's our yoke. We yoke up with the Word of God and we say, "Hey, this Gateway Baptist Church, however long allows us to be together, the Lord allows us to be together, however long He allows us to be here, whether He takes us up one way or the other, whether He calls us out of here tomorrow, every second that He allows this church to exist, we have the opportunity to stand and we have the opportunity to be in unity." And it's all about the strength of God and the Word of God. Verse 4, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And again I say rejoice. We have the potential to stand, the potential to have unity, and the potential to rejoice. You can lose a lot of things, but you can't lose your joy unless you give it away. You can rejoice. We're looking at a man here that wrote Philippians. We're talking about Paul. And Paul is the same guy that was preaching about whether in perils of robbers, perils of troubles, you know, all these things goes down through there, being beaten and being imprisoned and going through the shipwrecks and the storms and all these things. You know what he says? "Rejoice in the Lord always." Because he wasn't always going through a pleasant circumstance, but he always could rejoice in the Lord. And listen, the words are important. Think about this. You can rejoice in the Lord. If you're not saved, you can't rejoice in the Lord because you're not in the Lord. Amen. No matter what happens in this world, you could lose everything you have. You could lose everything you ever thought you were going to have. Every dream that your flesh had could come crashing to a halt. And you can still rejoice in the Lord. You're still saved. You know what the devil wants to do? He wants to get in these churches. He wants to mess them up. The biggest thing the devil wants to do for against a saved person is get them to believe they can either lose their salvation or get out of fellowship with God and never get it back. And if you're still breathing God's air, both those things are a lie. You're not losing your salvation, and you can still get your fellowship back if He's still allowing you to breathe His air. Amen. You can rejoice in the Lord. So, well, Biden and Trump and Nancy Pelosi and Bill Gates and Anthony Fauci and this shot and that shot and the monkeypox and all this. You know, good night. I thought chicken pox was crazy. Now I got monkey pox. We're going to have giraffe pox for us over with. They're going to go down through the zoo list. You ever had pigeon pox? Because you hang on. They're coming. But they're going to, who cares? I'm still saved. Amen. I could catch the pigeon pox and fly out of here tomorrow and go straight to heaven. Amen. I can rejoice in the Lord. Amen. That's what he's saying. Rejoice in the Lord. If you've never called on Jesus Christ, trusted Him as your Lord and Savior, you can't rejoice in the Lord. You might have pleasure in your sin for a season, but you can't really rejoice at all. That's why the world's so messed up. That's why these people are out there trying to feed the flesh these carnal things and trying to satisfy them. They're trying to find joy. And they find pleasure for a season, but they don't find the ability to rejoice because they don't know the one worth rejoicing about. Amen. Amen. Rejoice in the Lord. We have the potential to stand. We have the potential to have unity. We have the potential to rejoice in every circumstance. And we have the reason to rejoice in every circumstance. Amen. And if you look at verse number 5, it says, "Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand." We have the ability, the potential to be an example. Amen. The potential to be an example. Let your moderation be known to all men. The circumstances of this world shouldn't get you off of that narrow path. I'm not talking about your salvation. I'm talking about your walk with Jesus Christ. The circumstances of this world should not be able to get you off in one ditch or the other. You should be moderate. You should be able to handle it. You should be able to realize that God's in control. You should be able to realize that ultimately we're going to make it in His strength. You should be able to realize that we're already victorious. We're more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. You should be able to realize and understand that you can go to God and get peace from Him. Amen? When the whole world, when every wheel's coming off the bus, we should be able to be an example to not just lost people, but to weaker brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. Amen. How's that? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? We're going to serve the Lord. How are we going to do it? What are we going to do? Because we'll serve the Lord. What if they take our guns? We'll serve the Lord. What if we don't have food? We'll shoot something and serve the Lord. Amen. We'll build a fire and serve the Lord. Amen. We'll grow a garden and serve the Lord. Hey, you know what the Lord will do? He'll supply all your needs according to His riches and glory in Christ through Christ Jesus. Amen. If you need it and you're doing what God says to do, He ain't going to let you starve to death. Amen. I mean, the wheels are coming off this thing. Praise the Lord. This bus wasn't going the right direction anyway. Maybe slow it down a little bit. Amen. We have the potential to be an example. Amen. That's what I love about some of the older folks, all the older folks. The older folks in the church is they have not only the potential, they're taking advantage of being an example to the younger people by staying in. Amen. 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 Say, well, life throws you, gives you lemons, you make lemonade. Well, you throw the lemons at the devil and come on to church, have something sweet. Amen. Amen. But being an example. Amen. We've got a lot of potential in Christ. In verse number 6, be careful for nothing. Don't be full of care for anything. It shouldn't consume you. Amen? Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. We've seen the potential, now we see the prayer and supplication. Supplication is just a humility in requesting. But you know what it says? With thanksgiving. Oh Lord, I need, I need, I need. Oh Lord, thank you, thank you. Thank you. If it be your will, this is my request. Amen. You see, that this one verse would straighten out two-thirds of the TV preachers. And I'm not comparing me to them. I don't want a big me and little me. I'm just giving you the facts. This would straighten out most of the baloney with the TV preachers. This name it and claim it crowd. This prosperity junk. This verse doesn't say that. This verse would straighten them right out if they would actually open a real Bible and read it. It says asking. Prayer and supplication. That supplication is asking in humility. That's not telling God you have to do this because I'm your child. How well does that work at home? Amen? Okay. You called on Him, so He had to give you salvation. He promised you that. He told you He'd take care of you. He didn't give you the details on how. Amen? Well, God, you have to do it this way. And we're going to get together and we're two or more gathered. We're going to touch hands. We're going to make God do something. No, you're not. It's a miserable mess is what it is. Oh, Lord, if it's your will. Oh, Lord, if you would have it, find it in your heart to do it this way. I'll do whatever you want. I'll go whatever direction you want. I'll live with whatever you want. Just give me the strength to. But, Lord, oh, Lord, let's reason about this. Maybe you could do it this way. If it's in your heart to do it. If it's not, though, I'm nobody. I mean, you just do it, and I'll just come along for the ride. We don't point at God and tell Him what He does and what He should do. I mean, there's some bizarre characters out there that are calling themselves preachers. Oh, I wish I was here when Jesus was here, because when he was on the cross, I'd have held him and said, poor Jesus. Are you an idiot? That's the God of the universe. That's God. That's Genesis 1:1 God. You know what was on his mind on Calvary? Doing the will of the Father. He wasn't looking for somebody's shoulder to cry on. These people have lost their minds. They're spiritual cripples. We have the potential. Then you see the prayer and supplication. Thank God. Daniel, when he prayed 3 times a day, I guarantee you there's some thanksgiving in every one of them. Amen? A lot of times, born-again believers, they don't pray until they get in so much trouble they got nothing to do but beg God for stuff. So, man, I got the humility, Lord, I can't do anything. He goes, yeah, where's the thanksgiving? Remember that verse in Romans that says, neither were they thankful? I mean, we got a lot to be thankful for. I'm not going to hell, amen? Not only that, he allows me to do all kinds of neat stuff here for him. He used me once in a while. If you was honest, before you were saved, the devil got to use you every day. Amen. But that prayer and that supplication, it's the right attitude. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Your will be done. There's nothing wrong with saying, Lord, I wish it was this way, if you'd find it in your heart to do that. But we don't demand things from God. He expects things from us. Could you imagine if God treated people the way people treat Him? I demand, God, that you're going to do this my way. Everybody would be a Calvinist if God did that, right? You're going to do this my way. Amen? But He doesn't. He says, here's my way, and you're welcome to do it. Amen? The prayer and supplication, verses 7 through 9, it says, and the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. The peace of God from the God of peace. Amen? Say, how's it happen? By trusting the Lord. By not getting so caught up in this world and so hooked to this world and so messed up with the cares of this world and the cares of the flesh and the desires of the flesh and being thankful for what we already have. The peace of God which passes all understanding. You ever talk to somebody who's going through just the most horrible storm you've ever seen? I mean, you look at them and you're thinking, I don't know how they're even standing up. I don't know how they could sit up. I don't know how they got up this morning. They're going through. And you look at them and they've got a peace about them. And that peace just flows out of them. You see it. You can feel it. It's almost palpable. You can almost touch it. How? Because they're not so caught up in the things of this world and the flesh. They're thankful for what they have. And God says, I'll give you some peace. The peace of God from the God of peace. 11 and 12 go down through here, and Paul says, he's talking about, well, let's look at 10 too, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye also were careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. We see the power of God. You know what Paul says? God's taking care of me. I'm not walking this earth in my power anymore. You know what? Paul was walking this earth in his power until he got the road to Damascus and God knocked him on his face. Paul had a severe power failure right there, a power outage. But he got a new strength he never had before. A new strength that he was trying to work against his whole ministry. The power of God. He says, I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. How's that? In God's power. In God's strength. How do we keep plugging along? We know how. We know how to make it when there's 60 people. We know how to make it when there's 10. Amen. We know how to make it when the checkbook's looking fairly good. We know how to make it when the checkbook's empty. We know how to deal with things because it's in God's power. I don't know how many times over the years I've said, oh, Lord, I don't know how this is going to happen. The Lord goes, yeah. Two or three days later, the answer's there, and I couldn't see it. If I had a telescope, the Hubble telescope, I couldn't find an answer. God already knew the answer. He was always looking back at the answer, and I was trying to look forward for something I couldn't see, and He takes care of it. Amen? You ever been at the end? I mean, just totally at the end. And saying, I got nothing left. I mean, absolutely nothing, and nobody cares. And you get down on your knees, and you pray, and you can't even pray. You think God ain't even there. You get that Bible, you open that Bible up, you start reading that Bible, say, that thing's dead to me right now. You go sit in the chair, you say, I give up. And you sit there for a minute, and God slides up there beside you and wraps His arm around you. And something happens on the inside, and you can't explain it. And you know everything's all right. Amen? It's the power of God. He just comes up and just gives you what you need. There's the power of God. God don't have power shortages, power failures. 13 through 16, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that at the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity. We see the provision from God. Now, first of all, in verse 13, Paul says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. He's talking about God providing him the ability to get through no matter what the circumstances are. Aren't you glad for that? Praise the Lord. God's got plenty of grace for us. We don't see it, but He shows up with it right on time. Amen? We can't forecast God's grace, but He shows up with it right on time. The provision of God, the strength to get through the circumstances. Then he's talking about going down through here and how they communicated with his affliction and how he sent the church of Philippians, the Philippian church, they had sent Paul, they had taken care of Paul's carnal needs. They'd sent him money, food, clothes, whatever he needed. They'd sent it to Paul and taken care of him because God was taking care of him. That's the way God provides things. He does it through other people. He'll do it through lost people sometimes. Amen. But he does that. And then we see in verse 17 and 18, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Here we are looking at a man that went on the mission field for the Lord with nothing. He didn't do, and look, I'm not taking a shot at the missionaries. They pray about it. They do what God wants them to do. They do things differently. Some missionaries do one way. Some do another way. God does things differently for different people. But Paul didn't go on deputation for 17 years. Paul left with nothing. Amen? And he trusted God. And you know what God did? He took care of him. And I'm not saying anything against any missionary. They do what God tells them to do. But I'm just telling you where Paul was. He didn't leave his old life into the new life with the promise of all this support. He left trusting God. And I'm not saying they're not. Please don't get me wrong. I'm not taking a shot at the missionaries. I'm just telling you where Paul was. He had nothing. And God took care of him every step of the way. You see, Paul wasn't an American. Americans got everything, and they think they got nothing. They think God hates them because they don't have more. Amen? And the truth is, if you were born here, that's more than you ever deserved. Amen? I don't care if Biden was president since you were 4. If you were born here, it's more than we ever deserved. This is the greatest nation there ever was still. Matter of fact, they can't mess it up no matter how hard they try, as fast as they want to. Because God's blessed. You can't curse what God's blessed, but God's taking his fingers off. But Paul leaves, you see the purpose. Here's the purpose of giving. Paul's bragging on them for their giving. He's bragging on the Lord for giving through them, the purpose of giving. We got a letter here from Paul and Susan Hamilton, missionaries to Moldova. I'll read part of it. We got another one here. It says, we opened our Hannah House up to the refugee as a refugee home for women and children fleeing the Ukraine. After countless refugees passed through on their way to some place safer in the beginning of the war, things eventually settled down, and we had five families that stayed with us. In the beginning, we were thinking only taking in fleeing Christians, but ended up taking three unsaved families. What a blessing it was the Lord led us in that direction. The first week, unsaved ladies and children showed up and was shocked from fleeing their homes or from being in church for the very first time. One of the ladies came up to me after preaching and said, "That was a nice talk. I really enjoyed it." Those ladies have been faithfully coming and bringing their children to Sunday school each week. This is what God's doing through our missionaries in a time that everybody else says, "What's going on? What's going on? What's going on?" Well, the devil says, "I'll start a little war." And God says, "Good, I'll use that to my benefit. Do what you got to do." So here he is, he's saying, these ladies are coming faithfully, bringing their kids with them. One of the teenage boys, Roman, came forward last week and got saved. No war, no Jesus. So all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose, right? No matter what it looks like to us, God's still doing good things. Amen. Kira, a very smart 4-year-old refugee girl, when she arrived, she knew nothing at all about Jesus. She drew a picture of Jesus dying on the cross and presented it to Susan after her Easter lesson about Jesus dying for us. She had not missed one day of Sunday school since arriving. Yet she told Susan, or yesterday she told Susan, she had been waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting for Sunday school. She wished she had Sunday school every single day. A little 4-year-old girl never knew anything about Jesus until the war started. Now listen to this. Her Sunday school lesson this week was about Jesus feeding the 5,000. Kira raised her hand and said, "I want to see Jesus." Susan said, "I do too." Kira said with a big smile, "I think everybody wants to see Jesus." What a sweet, innocent heart. If only that were true. Now it gets better. As the lesson continued, Kira raised her hand again and said, "I want to go to heaven." Yesterday, the little girl prayed and received Jesus Christ, her Lord and Savior, along with Marsha and Darina, two other refugee girls living with us, she said. He said, without the terrible war, these girls may have never heard about Jesus. Here's a letter from the Hoffmeisters to Trinidad. 17 years ago, while I was driving down the road in Pleasantville, registering children for teens and teens for vacation Bible school, I pulled the car over to the side of the road and invited a young man named Akinde, I believe it is. For several years, I picked up Akinde for church and watched him grow spiritually. Eventually, he got his own car and began picking up people for every service, many times making 3 trips to get people to service. Later on, he got a bus, filling it as well, and then another bus. Last year, Akinde finished 4 years of Bible college, and during the lockdown, he preached 3 times a week. God has developed him into an outstanding preacher. What a blessing it was last month to ordain this young man for the ministry. The purpose of God's giving. Amen? You say, "Well, what's God doing in Eaton, Ohio?" Well, there's what He's doing in Eaton, Ohio. There's what He's doing. Here's what He's doing this morning. You go to the nursing home at 1 o'clock, you see what else He's doing. Amen? That's what He's doing. The purpose of giving. You know what Paul said? In verse 17, "Not that I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account." You know what Paul said? "I'm not wanting the gift. I'm wanting my ministry to be fruitful because of your help. And I want to see fruit that goes applied to your account." A 17-year-old boy that grew up to be a preacher, that's fruit applied to your account. That little Kira and Marsha and Darina, it's fruit to your account. Amen. You know, I don't think we realize how this really works. You know, God's not sitting up there with one of those visors and one of those adding machines. Ching, oh, Scott, you give $18, and Jim, you give $17.45. Ching, ching, Bill. He's not doing that. You know what? He's not trying to figure out how the fruit splits up. When that boy got saved, God knew exactly who was involved in it. Amen? When that little girl said, I want to see Jesus, and the next day she got saved, God knew exactly who was praying for that missionary. God knew exactly who was putting money in the plate for that missionary. This ain't a preaching on tithing or mission support. This is just about what God's doing. Maybe I could provoke you to read the letters on the wall. Because their letters are full of fruit to your account. And they're letters that'll stir your heart and stir your soul and get you more fruit to your account. Don't we have the woe is me mentality a lot of times? Yeah. Look at what's going on here in my little world. It's not about your little world. It's about God's big world. Look what's going on. Look at these letters. Look at the number of them. 22 missionaries sending letters. Some of them we don't support. We never support. I don't know why we get their letters. We put some of their letters up there. Amen? But we support them in prayer. God knows exactly what's going on. It's not the fat guy in the red jumpsuit that knows if you've been sleeping, knows you've been bad or good. It's God. Amen? And God ain't trying to get down the chimney of your house. He's trying to get in your heart and do something in there. He wants to put a gift in your heart. And that gift is a love for lost souls and a heart for missions. So what can we do here in Eaton, Ohio? Well, we're still doing it. We're doing what God told us to do. If you're praying for these missionaries, you're putting money in the plate for the missionaries, and it's not just about the money. I guarantee you God's not up there again with that machine. He's not looking. This person gave money and this person prayed. Well, I thought $10 is much more than 5 seconds of prayer. No. God knows the heart of both. And if somebody puts $100,000 in that plate with the wrong heart and somebody prays for 5 minutes with the right heart, let me tell you who gets the fruit. You know what we need here more than anything? We need a heart for the Lord, a heart for the lost, and a heart to love people. Amen? Amen. So, well, the church down the road, they're running 700 at Vacation Bible School. Well, what, were they running them off or running them? Where are they running them? That's not what it's about. God's not looking down at the numbers. God's looking at the hearts. And I'm not saying, hey, look, if you're doing things to the right heart, don't look at things on the outward appearance and say, this ain't working. Paul said, not that I desire a gift, but I desire a fruit that may abound to your account. When those people Paul was leading to the Lord got saved, it was to the Philippians church's account. And you know what he said? No other church communicated with me. He said, well, these people got hundreds of churches probably sending money to them. Wonder how many of them are praying for them. What if it could be Gateway Baptist Church that was praying for every one of them? Amen? So we can't give them $500 a piece. No, but you can pray for them. God can give them $500 a piece if he wants them to have it. Amen? God's still doing what he does. I sat down and read a stack of letters the other day, and I read those two just, bam. Every letter's got something good in it. Every letter. But some of them just speak to your heart and say, hey, keep up what God's called you to do. Verse 19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. We've seen the potential. We've seen the prayer and supplication, the peace of God, the power of God, the provision of God, the purpose of giving. Now we see the plan of God. God's plan is not to give you so much stuff that you can look good to the rest of the world. It's not for you to have 15 new cars and a $1 billion house. God's plan is to give to you so he can give through you. God's going to take care of us. If you never put a dime in the plate, that's between you and the Lord. I'm not talking about tithing. I'm talking about life. He didn't give you. Remember the men with the talents and the one that hit it in the ground? Was afraid he was going to lose it? He must have been a pastor of a Baptist church. We thought he was losing it. But anyway, he hit it in the ground. He didn't do anything with it. What are you doing with your salvation? It's not all about money. There are people dying and going to hell. record numbers. You know, the insurance company said that 40% higher death rate in working class Americans since this last couple of years of junk going on. People are dying and going to hell faster than they've ever been. This world's going to hell faster than it's ever been. What are you doing with your salvation? He didn't give your salvation to hide it. I remember Pastor Thomas Thacker. He was a great friend of mine for many years. He went home to be with the Lord a couple years ago. But he told me one time, he said, "Did you tell him about the Lord?" I said, "I didn't." He goes, "Oh, secret agent Christian, huh?" And I was like, "Oh, man, brother, you're supposed to be my friend." He was, because he told me the truth. Well, I was witnessing. I just didn't do it that time. Probably several times. Secret agent Christian. "Oh, Lord, I had your salvation, but I hid it in the dirt so I wouldn't lose it." How about telling somebody else about it? Amen? So I'm gonna amass this fortune. I'm gonna have so much money that I have to put it in 25 different banks. And then when you die, the court's gonna split it up amongst people that don't care, and they're gonna blow it. Amen? They're gonna waste it. And God's gonna say, "What were you doing?" And I'm not talking about everything. Look, I know this is going to upset some people. If there are other Baptist preachers listening to this, they're never going to talk to me again, probably. But all you're giving doesn't have to go directly through the church. I would suggest giving to charities through the church. I would suggest not giving to the police, FOP, and all that stuff, because most of that don't even go to them. But what about the people down the street don't have something? What about your neighbors? Their kids might need something. What about the... And look, I'm not talking about just giving everything away. I'm talking about when the Lord says do something, how about doing it? "Oh no, Lord, I got a better idea. I'm going to keep it all in the bank." He's going like, "Well, yeah, but that kid right there..." And the Lord says, "This really was more about you than it was about them, so just forget it. Just forget it. I'll have somebody else do it." Don't miss a blessing. Don't miss God's will because you have a better plan. God's just liable to suck all the money out of the bank and give you nothing. And again, I'm not talking about tithing. I'm not preaching on that. I'm talking about what you're doing with your life. What we're doing with our lives. "Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account." I cannot tell you the number of times when I have very little left and the Lord said, "Give them $5 or give them $10 or whatever." And I'm like, "Oh, Lord. Come on, Lord. I'll get some chips and salsa with that. Amen." Lord's like, "Yeah, you need it. Amen. I don't even need scales, big boy. You don't need that. Give that $5 to them. Amen. All right, Lord." And then all of a sudden, my problems disappear. Lord says, "I'll take care of you." And what is he doing? He's trying to show me I can trust him. He's trying to show us we can trust him. Look, I mean, here it is right here. We can trust him. We can trust him. If you're putting money for missions, praise the Lord. The church puts money for missions, praise the Lord. But if you're not praying for the missionaries, you're missing a blessing. You're missing fruit. You're missing fruit. The plan of God is to give to you so he can give through you. I'm not saying you're the rich man that Jesus was talking to. He said, "Sell all your goods and follow me. But don't let your goods have you." Amen? Let the Lord have you. Father, we sure love you and thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the opportunities you give us. Lord, all these letters around this wall, I've had the opportunity to read many of them over the months and see what you've been doing all over the world. And Lord, we're dazed and confused when it comes to this news and all this junk we hear all the time. But none of it surprises you. But you continually, over and over and over and over again, surprise me. And Lord, I'm thankful that we don't serve some little, weak, puny God that can do something maybe once in a while, but you're always doing good things. And Lord, you can show us in the midst of a crisis, in the midst of a storm, in the midst of chaos, through your love and your order and your power and your strength, you're still plucking people out of the fire. Saving souls and blessing folks that are trying to do what you call them to do. Help us, Lord. We want to be those folks. We want to be in your will thank you and praise your name for allowing us to be part of the ministries of these missionaries. And every ministry you allow us to be a part of, thank you for the nursing home ministry. And again, Lord, bless it and breathe on it today. Lord, we love you and thank you and ask for your hand of guidance, direction, and protection on each individual. Guidance, direction, and protection on this church. In Jesus' name, amen.